Welcome to Beans and Breakdowns, a podcast dedicated to bridging the gap between specialty coffee and the heavy music community. On this episode, I'm joined by Joe Kruko of Edict and Bury Your Dead. So grab a fresh cup of coffee and wake the fuck up! What's going on, Caffeinated Crew? Today I'm with Joe. He's been in a few bands. I don't know if anyone's ever heard of them or anything, but recently Edict, Bury Your Dead. There's a few others. We'll talk about it. But how are you doing today, Joe?
I'm doing really good, man. It's fucking like 75 degrees. The sun is out. It's nice, dude. And don't take this personal, but it's a good motorcycle day today. And I'm like, fuck, podcast is right in the middle of the day.
I have to apologize for that. See, we didn't see this. This was scheduled like weeks ago when y'all were out on the road. There was no way of knowing that it would be a moto day.
Oh, absolutely. No, but it is really nice. And it's cliche, but when the sun's out, dude, you feel good, especially coming out of wintertime. You know, you're in fucking Canada. It's 6 months of the year. You got to stay inside.
Unfortunately, it's cloudy, but it is warmer than usual. Yeah, so I did bypass the metro. I was going to take the metro home and I was like, I can just walk it. Yeah. It's an extra 20 minutes. We're going to do it. So I'm with you. Whenever the sun or the warm weather starts to show its face, we're like, take this long sleeves off. It's like 55 exactly, and wearing short sleeves.
And you feel like you're like, oh, well, I survived another 6 months of fucking being inside the whole time, you know?
We make activities, you know, you got to get a nice base layer. And then
dude, I'm not a winter sports person. So like I'm fucked. All my favorite activities are outside warm activities. So from like November to like April 1st, it's just like,
which just suffering. You're in Rhode Island, right?
Yeah. Providence, Rhode Island. Yep.
So y'all don't get it. Like, it's not like crazy cold.
No, it can get cold sometimes. And like, this is probably bad, but when I was younger, like it would snow a lot, dude. And it really doesn't snow that much anymore. it's kind of funny and I like it because I'm a warm weather guy, but it's probably not good.
I would say it's a bad indicator. Yeah. The fact that
I'm not a scientist. I'm not going to pretend to play one on fucking TV, but I just know it doesn't really snow that much anymore and it's sick, but also probably not good.
Yeah. Problematic, for sure, but a blessing in disguise, maybe. But just the lifespan of our planet rapidly decreasing.
A little bit. I think that's a safe assumption to make. I'm just excited for the fucking sprouted palm trees in Providence. It's going
to
be nice.
Oh shit. I'm going to have to come down and see that when it happens.
Yeah. You can take your summertime vacation in New England where it's fucking warm. It's warm year round. That's how someone's going to try to sell this 100%.
Yeah. Once Florida is swallowed up by the ocean, then Providence becomes the new retirement.
This is going to be the new place, dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's terrible, but
are you drinking anything today?
Well, dude, so I got prepared. I am not like, well, we can touch on coffee. I am not like a coffee snob, but I do have a subscription to Trade Coffee. Do you know what it is?
Yes, I do.
They just like, yeah, I had I like them kind of soft, so light roast is cool, and they just every couple of weeks they just send a random one from wherever, and it's pretty cool. You know, today I am drinking. I actually brought it over since it was, I don't know if you can see, but it's from City Blend. Yeah, I guess it's from New York City. I guess, what the hell is it? Oren's Coffee. Okay. First coffee shop in New York City. It's the guy. No, he opened his first coffee shop in New York City, 1986, blah, blah, blah. Some other bullshit, but it's pretty good, man. So shout out to Trade. When it comes to coffee, it's similar to like when I drink alcohol. Like, sure, I would prefer to drink good alcohol, but I would also drink fucking Mad Dog 2020 and Wild Turkey Nips if I had to, you know? I wasn't above it. And that's how I feel with coffee. Like, I would prefer this at home, but I also, you know, just, we just did 16 shows and I drank so much fucking 7-Eleven trash for 2 weeks. So it is what it is.
I heard that McDonald's has cold brew now. Are you a cold brew? Do you like iced coffee at all?
I actually, even when it's hot out, man, I prefer hot coffee. Obviously, if it's a fucking 100-degree day, yeah, I'll drink iced coffee, but it's not really my favorite. But like if I was in a pinch, I would probably rather drink that than like a 7-Eleven or like a gas station Sunoco fucking cup of coffee. Oof. Bro, you know, like there was literally moments on tour in the morning where I would push the button and, you know, like water comes out first and then it turns brown and it's just like, it hurts my soul.
Oof.
Hurts my soul.
I just, the thing with me, cause I work in a cafe, like doing some admin, but I often will help out in the bar and stuff. And it's, I can see how dirty the machine, just in daily use, the machine can get. And I just wonder, cause we clean every day. How dirty is that cappuccino machine at the Sunoco?
It's fucking disgusting. Dude, even if I walk into a place and I'll see a hopper and like, it's all oily and like, it's like, you can't see through it. You know what I'm talking about.
I do.
I'm not even like I said, I'm not a coffee snob. I'll still drink it. I'm still not going to say I'm not drinking it. I'm not there, but you see it and you go, oh fuck, man. Like that shit's been, hasn't been touched. And you know, you wouldn't clean your toilet, not clean it for fucking a year, you know? That's what it reminds me of.
You drink the stuff that's in there.
Yeah. But you know what I'm talking about. You can't even see through it anymore. Mm. Yeah.
Nope. Hard pass. I just walk out. I just like, I'm like, I can't drink.
I'll still stay because I'm weak and I'm addicted. I'm addicted to the caffeine, but I know. And especially if you work in that, I've never worked in a coffee shop. But I know enough people have that pointed out this to me, like, hey, that's disgusting. You shouldn't drink out of there. So,
yeah.
And I can only imagine as someone who works in a cafe that like you look at, you must walk in and be like, oh, fuck this, dude. You know,
I have definitely decided not to order from places just based on like seeing their oiliness of like their equipment. So I was like, oh, God, I don't know if I can do it. You say you're not a coffee snob, but you came right out of the gate with the trade subscription and the talking about how oily coffee hoppers are. So you're already leaps and bounds ahead of like 50% of the guests.
You know what? You're not wrong, because it wasn't until someone pointed this stuff out to me that like I didn't recognize it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because I would just fucking walk in and get whatever, you know?
So you're like, I would say you're almost across the line into coffee snob. Almost there.
We're 50% there.
Yeah. 50%. So, I'm drinking something. This is actually, disclaimer, I guess, but, I work for a coffee roaster. He set this bag aside for me. I work at a place called Balance Torrefactor, which means coffee roaster in French. And this is called Cedra. It is from Colombia. It's one of our micro lots that we were running about a month ago. And it is anaerobic. It's got like blueberry, caramel, and like citrus flavors. And it's really, really like crazy juicy.
Now, do you drink it straight black?
Hell so yeah, brother. Hell yeah.
Well, I'm kind of a poser. I put vanilla in everything. If it's an option, I know. If it's an option, if it's not an option, I'll drink it black, you know, but if maybe I put a little vanilla oat milk creamer in this mofo.
That's all good though. I mean, you know,
it looks like flavor. You're judging.
No. Yeah, listen,
see the judgment in those eyes.
Judgment free zone. Just,
I thought this was a safe space, but apparently not.
It's a safe space. Like hardcore is a safe space. So, we might spin kick anyway. It's funny because there's like memes and stuff where about coffee and, like, you know, I'll make pour overs. So anyone who comes over, they want coffee. I just make pour overs at home because it's easy. I usually make one or two cups and, I've made pour overs for people and like, I can tell that they're afraid. But I'll be like, do you need any milk or do you just take it black? And they're afraid to be like, a little bit of milk, please.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. But there is a big difference. I mean, if you have a nice cup of coffee, you really don't need it. Like, if you make it in a Chemex or something, like, you can definitely taste the difference. I just think we're so conditioned, like, to mass produce coffee that we consume. Like, I think it's disgusting, but it's also like, I probably have more Dunkin' Donuts than anything in my entire life. And it's fucking garbage. So yeah, you have to put stuff in it. I wouldn't drink a black coffee in there, you know?
I put respect on Dunkin' though.
Bro, it's trash. And I do. My mom worked there for like 30. That's how we lived, was for my mom's Dunkin' Donuts. My mom worked at Dunkin' Donuts for like probably 25 years. Like, that's how we had money and food. But so respect for that, but trash.
Boston is the city built by Dunkin'.
Yeah, so terrible. It's fucking not good.
It's like Brian from Death Before Dishonor. He was on like a while back, like very, very long ago. And my man's chugging the entire episode. The biggest Dunkin' iced coffee I have ever seen. Like, I think it was a gallon. Long. I think it was a gallon of iced coffee he's drinking on his way to work. So, yeah, shout out Dunkin', just a little bit, just a little shout out.
I do like convenience, and dude, the city I work in, there's no, like, I'm very lucky in Providence. It's probably similar to Montreal. Like, there's probably 20 coffee shops that all use all different types of roasters. So like, you can be very specific, and it's awesome. Mm-hmm. But I just work like, 7-8 miles from here, and Dunkin' Donuts is it, dude. There's nothing else, you know? So I end up drinking it more than I would like to admit.
Like I said, judgment free zone. You gotta do what you gotta do.
It's true. It's hard out here for the dude, because I don't drink or do drugs or anything anymore. It's been a long time. So I always say coffee's all I got left, bro. So I at least gotta suck down 3 or 4 of them every day, you know?
That's it. I'm almost there with you. I've been doing energy drinks.
I don't fuck with those at all. Not into them. I think they're gross.
I'm in a band with an old, I don't want to call him old. That's rude. He's up there. Let's just say he's been in hardcore for a long time. But I was drinking an energy drink the other day, and he told me I was going to die young. So, and he's like,
those are bad, dude. You know, like, if it's green, bro, if your drink is green, I don't want it. I don't think you should be drinking it.
I do the organic. They got organic ones up here though. They got like Guru. I don't know if you're right. Guru. Yeah.
I don't, when I think of like an energy drink, I think of like some guy with a jacked up pickup truck with like the Monster Energy fucking claw thing. Again, judgment free zone. If that's what you love, then fucking live your truth. But no, not to me.
Listen, I'm from Georgia. That just hits home.
So that's what I was going to ask you, dude. I'm like, this guy doesn't sound Canadian. How does a guy from Georgia end up in Canada?
It's my wife's job. We've been here for like 6 years. So we're like residents now. We're one step from getting our citizenship, essentially.
Dude, when they say love it or leave it, you just fucking left it, bro. You're like, see ya, right, Georgia. I'm going to Canada.
2018, right in the middle of a certain presidential time. It was pretty great.
Probably not a bad idea.
So
I like it. We're on the same cycle now. We sip at the same time.
That's synced up straight up in it. Just don't see eye to eye on the energy drink thing. It's saving my life right now. I think I'm at a point where it's almost like, okay, it's too much.
And if you work in a cafe, right? And then you're slamming energy drinks, that's kind of like sacrilege.
Let's not say I'm not slamming energy drinks. Okay. I'm not.
I heard like you were shotgunning them in the fucking closet at work.
Who told you this? Yeah, I drink maybe once a day, maybe. And it's not every day. So I appreciate the concern, but I'm not slamming fucking energy drinks.
I'm here for you. The next time it's going to be like alcohol, bro. You want to get an energy drink? Just shoot me a text. I'll talk you out of it. We'll be good.
Yeah. I need you to be my sponsor. Together. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll get through it together.
My name is Grayson. I'm an energy drink addict. This is taking a turn. So I know that I made a joke about somebody being in hardcore for a long time. You've been in hardcore for a little while.
Yeah. I'm going to be 43 in September. I think I went to my first like local-ish, like VFW hall, like punk rock thing when I was in seventh grade. So
it's early start.
That was probably like 1994-ish, you know. I got pretty lucky. I talked about it on one other podcast before, but I have an aunt who's only a few years older than me. I think she's 5 years older than me. So when I was like 11 or 12, she started dating my uncle, and he was a hardcore dude, you know, sick of it all, Agnostic Front, like all the New York City stuff. And, you know, and I thought he was the coolest motherfucker on the planet because I didn't know anything about music. I heard like, you know, radio music, you know, like Will Smith and shit. And then, so I always laugh and I say, oh, I went from listening to fucking Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch to fucking sick of it all, you know? But, so yeah, I was really lucky in that regard, you know? And then he was, you know, it was probably annoying looking back at it for him, but he would take me to, you know, take me to Providence, take me to Boston and stuff. And I got to tag along, and it was really cool and like really changed my life. You know, we kind of joke about it now. I'm like, hey, you really fucked up my life, you know, by taking me. You really ruined it. Threw in the wrong. I was going to be a brain surgeon, but
yeah,
you know, you showed me fucking Blood, Sweat, and No Tears by I Sick of It All. And that was it.
We got a million brain surgeons, so it's fine.
Yeah, it's true.
I know you've mentioned the story before about switching from like radio hip hop to the Sick of It All and stuff like that. But like, I've always thought about this correlation between hip hop and hardcore. Cause even especially in the 90s.
Oh, for sure. Like the Judgment Night soundtrack and that type of stuff. It was aggressive, man. I think it's sick. I used to listen to fucking Body Count pretty much at that point, anytime, any band on that fucking Judgment Night CD, I like the hip hop, into Onyx, you know what I mean? House of Pain, all that stuff. You watch the videos, right? And motherfuckers be doing stage dives.
Yeah.
And, you know, at Onyx shows. So it was, I think it goes hand in hand. So it was around, maybe not so much anymore. Like I don't really know what's out there for like new hip hop, but, you know, back in the fucking, there was, you know, an element of like aggressiveness that was similar to both, you know?
Yeah. Like I know, didn't Suicidal do crossovers with like some of the LA artists? And they were like, Biohazard has a song with, I'm fucking blanking. It was just in that time, there was so much crossover.
Yeah, there was a lot of crossover, man. It was, I think it's sick. I think it's fucking really cool. I mean, actually, it's funny because the older you get, like, I forget more about stuff than I, you know what I mean? Like what I was into, but I might have to revisit that Judgment Night soundtrack. Fuck it.
I also heard there was like some like backyard wrestling game that had a ton of those songs on it too. Like ICP were characters in the game as well. But I think this would have been like late 90s, early 2000s maybe. So yeah, it's just crazy that like how we find like this really weird obscure genre is always through like something like a video game or like maybe you saw a video on Headbangers Ball because you were watching videos.
And that was like, I remember when fucking Beavis and Butthead came out, I was in sixth grade. The first fight was like 10 minutes long and they would fucking watch videos, dude. And if I remember correctly, I mean, we're going back 43. I remember seeing like Obituary, Sick of It All, I think Biohazard had a video like, and I could be mistaken. It's been so long, but I remember being like, holy shit. Like, and it was all right around the same time, you know?
Yeah, they had that Sick of It All video where they're moshing in the room. It was the Step Down.
I forget, dude, but I remember one of them saying something about like picking up change or whatever, you know? And it's kind of funny because now you get hardcore through TikTok, but I got through fucking my uncle and Beavis and Butthead. A little cool. Beavis and Butthead's greater than TikTok.
Way better. I've been revisiting it. Me and my wife have been watching because they're super, super short. So if we're just like, you know, trying to kill time, they're all on Amazon Prime, like on Paramount. So we've just been going through them. There was one where they did This Time by Life of Agony.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he's like, I like it when they play that one part, but then the rest of it sucks. And I was like, it's so funny. He's like, what an insult.
Yeah, that's brutal. Because the song is so good. Dude, I have a fucking Life of Agony tattoo. That's how much I love it.
Oh, man. But River Run Red, it's the master killer of
classic,
that genre.
Dude. Yeah. 100%. 100%. Like, this is going to sound like, this is not a cry for help. And I probably shouldn't even make the stroke. But if I was going to kill myself, it would be to fucking River Runs Red. It's got the hardest riffs and the saddest lyrics I've ever heard in my entire life.
Yeah, it's like if you took typo negative and like mixed it with like, I don't even know.
It's harder.
It's so harder. Much harder. It's way better. So yeah. Maybe like yeah. obituary it's, with typo negative. That I think that's a good. Anyway, we'll get off of the killing ourselves to River Runner.
I know it's a little depressing. And full disclosure, I'm just fucking making a joke. Do not condone it. Not into it.
Yeah, please do not hit up our DMs and be like, you shouldn't joke. We know.
Yeah, because okay? I know. We probably shouldn't, and they're right. Whoever is going to DM you is 100% correct.
Yes. I know that you were away from hardcore for a while, sure. And Edict was kind of the return. Since you've been back, what are some trends that you notice that are very, very different, and trends that you're like, that never left, that's been the same the whole time?
That's a good question, man. I think everyone looks a little different now. That's for sure. You know, the post-COVID TikTok thing, but I'm all for it, man. I think, you know, whether we like it or not, right? Because we have this, we're all older guys. So we have this discussion. Everyone's had this fucking discussion, you know, like kids these days, the type, right? That's a boomer fucking attitude. And everyone says that about the people coming after them. It doesn't matter what it is, right? Guys at work. Well, you know, I'm sure the fucking people at your job are like, you know, the fucking new people were hired. They're just not as good as what we used to have. Like that type of shit. But that's just not true. Right. It really isn't true. So I would say the shows aren't as aggressive for the most part, which, dude, it's a good thing. Like
it is a good thing.
Yeah. If you fucking, and like, this is my old man perspective now, but like, you run a venue and like someone's gonna like smash the place apart. That is actually terrible, you know. Yeah. And or like fucking assault all the security that works there. Like I know these things like still happen, but that is bad and that's not good for anybody.
Right.
And we're kind of like chuckling about it because it's because it is ridiculous when you say it. But so I think the trend, like, you know, everybody, like, just shows aren't as scary, which is it's a good thing, man. And I haven't seen a single fight, like an actual, like someone get fucked up, you know, the entire since we started playing again. And I think that is a good thing because you should, at the end of the day, it's just entertainment and it's serious, but it's also like not that serious. And it's just like, you know, I don't want to see, you don't want anybody to get hurt, dude, or get fucked up and get their teeth kicked in, you know. That being said, I've had a couple, because I've been booking shows here in Providence too, and I've had a couple younger kids say some things afterwards that were really like fucking hurt my heart, you know. Like I'll talk about it. We had this kid, I booked a show, I won't dive too much into it, but I literally saw a kid get moshed. Like he was like caught a window in the face. I helped the kid outside. He lost a tooth, so we got him some ice. My buddy Chris had a first aid kit. We like help us, like, you know, and then I donated money to his GoFundMe. And then like 12 hours later, I read on the internet, this kid saying he was like attacked at the show and targeted because of who he was. And that was so not true, you know, and that like kind of, it actually really hurt me because it's like, that's not the type of, community that we have here, especially in fucking Providence, man. That is not, that is the polar opposite. And like his version of events, or their version of events, I should say, that they put online were not 100% not the, was not what happened. And that really, like, that fucking hurt me. And a part of me was like, why am I doing this? Like, fuck this. Like, I shouldn't do this anymore. You know what I mean? But then it's like, I'm not going to let someone, one person, kind of like kill the whole vibe, you know, because right now it's a good time. All the shows are good. There's tons of young kids. Everyone's moshing as soon as the first band starts playing. It's a really nice thing, you know? So I would say that is the con. You know, I kind of make a joke when we play, like, yo, if you're new, like old guys, have some fucking patience, right? Maybe it's not a bad thing to have some patience. And I would say new kids, make sure you keep your hands up. Cause it's like, you know, we joke about a safe space, but it's like, it's still aggressive music and people want to go off and they want to have a nice time, you know? So I think that's, I think you can't be brand new and try to change the culture, you know. Now, 30 years from now, it might be totally different. We might be the odd people out, right? And it is what it is, you know, things change. But right now, like, you know, that's one thing that always me particularly attracted me to that type of music was because it was aggressive and, I was an angsty fucking teenager, right? And you have trouble at home, and that's like the nice, you find this community, and it is a little scary and a little nerve wracking. And that was part of the attraction, you know? Mm-hmm. And that being said, I don't think someone should get fucking mauled over pit beef. That's ridiculous, you know? So the most 99% positive, if it wasn't for that one fucking person, dude, I would be like, no, I had no issues at all. But that really kind of fucking hurt me, you know?
Yeah. And I know it's like, you know, them being new and probably like seeing a bunch of videos on the internet, they kind of think they have a right perspective. But until you're there, like, I know, because seeing it from their side, it's definitely going to be very different than us being in
100%.
10 years, 20 years, 30 years. So.
If it's your second time there, you know what I mean? You know, it's probably you're like, what the fuck? This is ridiculous, you know? But, you know, it's not like a traditional concert, I guess. You know, it's not the same experience. And mm-hmm. that's what makes it so special. It's unique. Yeah. And it's high energy and it's kind of explosive. And there is like some tension there. And I don't think it's not a bad thing, you know?
It's not a spectator sport.
No, definitely not, man.
It's participation involved.
Yeah, 100%. And this is a boomer fucking tangent. Just because you said it's a spectator sport. The one thing I noticed too is about like you go to a show, if you watch a video from I just watched some Posse Numbers videos from like maybe 2003, 2004, I went, not a cell phone in sight, 5,000 head walks, stage dives, whole clubs going off. Now when we play, I get it. Like if this is like what you want to do, that's okay. But sometimes I look out and we're playing and like everyone's like nodding their head and there's 30 cell phones in the air. And I'm like, okay, it's just changed a little bit, you know? And, you know, as a guy who grew up half of his life without the fucking internet, realistically, I see, you know, pros and cons, but then I also post things on fucking Instagram. And so I'm just as guilty too, you know?
Yeah. I can remember a time where there weren't cell phones, barely. Like it was like,
yeah,
we had flip phones and shit. But yeah, it is such a different dynamic. And I think it also goes in with like a lot of the new crowd. It's like, I don't know how deep I want to get into it. It's just, it's a very different culture now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, things, it's definitely changed. And, you know,
the aggression that like we kind of had, and like, you know, I remember like having to like quote unquote maybe pay your dues and things like that. And I'm very happy that that's not so much a thing anymore and is not as violent as it was. It's much more welcoming. But the fine line, like you were saying, it's a safe space. It's still very aggressive. So
for sure,
come be who you want to be. Come be who you are. Be true to yourself. But be aware that there is this aspect of it where it is still aggressive and it is still like very participation heavy.
Oh, 100%, dude. And, you know, and even if you equate this to like not even hardcore, but just about your job, right? If I was a brand new, I don't know, barista or whatever, distributor, and I came into your shop, right? It was my very first day there. And I just told you all the things that you were wrong with your business, right? You wouldn't like that. Even if I was right, mm-hmm. even if I was 100% right, you'd be like, well, fuck this guy, right? So it's kind of a weird energy to walk into a new setting anywhere. Like, you know, I'm a fireman. If you came into my fire department and were like, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong on day one, you probably get, you know, that one would be your friend. That's just not how you like handle things, you know? And, but I get it, right? You're youthful and you're trying to, change everything too. I appreciate it, but so. And the old man rant, dude. That's all I got from that.
I'm almost there. I feel like I'm crossing into my old head days very quickly as I age. Anyway, I don't want to dwell on that. what do you think about this, especially in New England, like close to where you're at, this metalcore resurgence?
Again, man, it kind of blows my mind. Like we play with some bands now, and I'm like, motherfuckers got shell necklaces. It's literally like I step back in time. So it's cool. It makes me feel like good, you know? And because that was like my shit, dude. Like metalcore, like late 90s, mid to late 90s metalcore was my favorite music ever. And it like still is. And but it's a little like, you know, seeing the trends kind of come and go and the way people dress and stuff It's a little weird and it's kind of a little funny, like, you know, but again, if that's your fucking thing, dude, then get crazy with it. And the music is great. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of young bands like that. I might butcher the name, like that Ephra label. Like, they're all like young metalcore bands from Connecticut. They're fucking sick, dude.
Like
they're
the awesome. Balmora guys and all
that. Yeah,
them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love it, dude. And I love seeing like bands like Undying, Prayer for Cleansing. They're finally getting their dues, dude. You know what I mean? We play together in practice spaces and there'd be 15 kids there, you know, and now they're like, you can play that, you know, fucking co-headline This Is Hardcore. And it's sick.
I think it blows my mind. The Prayer for Cleansing return. I'm like, what the fuck? How is that bad?
Hell yeah, dude. It still holds up, man. You know, I listen to it like fairly regularly, you know, when I want to do a deep dive in the metalcore, and it's fucking great.
Yeah. I tell people Prayer for Cleansing is my favorite Between the Buried and Me album.
Oh, man. I won't touch that one, but no, but it is. It's fucking sick.
Yeah, it's really good.
So I think it's cool, man. And, you know, everything goes in cycles, right?
Yeah.
You
know? No, sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, there's only so many fucking riffs you can play on a guitar. Right? Eventually, you're going to have to come full circle.
Yeah, they're all hate breed riffs anyway. So
exactly, dude. I mean, that's what ours are, and I'm okay with it.
Yeah, straight up, it's all just hate breed. Everything is either hate breed or what's the other one that everyone just rips from? All the riffs are either hate breed or Biohazard. Like that's it.
Yeah, or like Carcass rip. Like hate breed is just like Carcass riffs. You know what I mean? So yeah. I'm all for it. If your band sounds like that, I'm gonna fuck with it.
Straight up, like Brandon's band is just Machine Head. Don't tell him I said that.
Bro, I think he owns it. They got the shirt.
He really does.
They cover those fucking songs. Yeah. It's so good though. I love it, dude. I'm super psyched for those guys. And I think we got some shows, I believe, coming up in August together. So I think it's not like official, but I love those guys, man. I love the whole band. Mm-hmm. And they're just like so fun too.
So the metalcore thing. Sure. I wanted it to kind of go into this because you had me at Hello, the Bury Your Dead album. I feel like there is just so much overwhelming influence with where like that style of hardcore is today. Like very much like the beat down and the new kind of wave of or new retro wave of metalcore. I feel like they're just like pulling all those fucking riffs out with like breakdown chaos chord, you know. Like the spazzy, I guess I can't say spazzy anymore. Anyway, the chaos chord.
Sure.
You know what I'm talking about? So like,
yes.
Did you, as I guess a 19-year-old, 20-year-old kid, ever think that that was going to be the case?
No, my God, no, dude. And it's crazy. Like, again, this is the whole thing, like, especially playing those shows with Buried Dead last year. It's like fucking stepping back in time in the best way without like the bullshit, without the 21-year-old like toxic masculinity portion of it and the ego. Now like everyone's old and chill. Like, oh, it was so wonderful, man. It really was. And, you know, if you had asked me 20 years ago that literally, I think we just played 16 shows. Every day someone brought that up to me. Hey, I know it's weird. I probably shouldn't talk about it, but like that record really means a lot to me. And I never thought in a million years that that would be an integral part of like someone's fucking music development in like high school, through their like high school times, you know. But I'm all for it, man. I think it's cool. You know, it almost makes me feel bad. Like, man, I wish I put more effort into that back in the day, you know?
Yeah. It's
cool.
Like, It is you mentioning, I wish I would have put more effort because, you know, most music is written by like 20 something year olds anyway, that like is being sung. And I feel like even now starting bands where it's like, oh, I'm just doing this for fun. It's just going to be stupid for like my friends. And then, but what if that happens? Like, what if it does take off and then it's like this integral part? So like, now there's this whole meta kind of.
Yeah, it is really crazy, man. And you know, if you love that shit, then I love that for you. Like, I think it's so cool, you know, and it's, I'll have that conversation every time we play. And I actually just text Matt the other day and I was like, dude, if I had a dollar for every time I had to talk about this record, I'd have a heated driveway. I'd be able to put heat under my driveway. But that is not the case.
No.
So
you should just
put it. But it's cool, man.
Wear a sign that says, if you want to talk about this album, you have to give me a dollar.
And you're gonna pay $5.
Yeah, $5. I've just put it on the merge table. $5 to have a conversation about Bury Your Dead.
No, I will gladly have that conversation every single day, man. And it makes me psyched, you know, that people fuck with it. And, you know, not to, you know, as a person in a newer band, it doesn't hurt our, you know, this project now. Like, it's, if someone associates this project with that or vice versa, like, if that gets us in the room or for someone to talk about it, that's a good thing too, because we did put a lot of effort into this and I'm like really proud. You know, we gave this the attention I wish I had given that attention, you know?
Right.
So yeah, it's all good.
So with Edict, cause this happened, what, 2021 you started?
Yeah. Somewhere in the pandemic. I forget exactly when now it's kind of, it all kind of all blends together. And I always say I only have two brain cells left anyway. So one of them's sleeping, taking a nap, but yeah. So around when it was like, it started when like the pandemic where you couldn't go, like you couldn't even hang out, like you couldn't go anywhere. And, you know, I was fortunate enough, George and I have been friends for very many years, and we had, you know, we had the practice space that was not being used and was like, okay. It was still when like COVID was real scary. So throw a mask on and go to the practice space and fucking start writing riffs.
Right.
And it was only supposed to be like for fun. Like, yeah, we'll just go fucking hang out. And then it was like, all right, let's make a demo tape. And I was like, okay, let's play a couple shows. Okay. Maybe we'll do an EP. Okay. We did an EP. Oh fuck. Now we're doing the second one. Like, it was no, like, what makes it kind of cool is, it was no like plan, like, yo, we're going to get these guys, we're going to do this, we're going to do, like, nothing has been strategic. We've probably made all the wrong decisions you could make as like a band, but it's all been just in good fun. And like, we're just playing and whatever happens, happens, you know? Mm-hmm. But it is kind of crazy because it was now we have this like couple music video, like this stuff that like we just went on tour. That was never supposed to be a thing, you know?
Like, y'all have been on what, like two or three tours now?
Yeah, we've played a lot. I think we play a lot, man. I think we have a show Friday night locally, and that'll put like, we played like 20 shows this month, which is crazy.
Jesus, that's like,
I feel like we played. Yes, dude, it's like a third job that I have that I don't get paid for.
It all just goes into the void.
Yeah, pretty much. But but it's dude, it's been really fun, man. It's just like, I can't stop smiling about like just how ridiculous the whole thing is, but in like a good way, you know. Mm-hmm. The fact that I'm just like still with my friends driving around the fucking United States, like swimming here, playing here. It's like, what is life? Because this was not supposed to be a thing, you know. Mm-hmm. And we're just having a good time, and maybe it'll get bigger, maybe it won't. Like, it's kind of nice because it's not really like, we don't have any expectations, though. There was zero expectations. Like, I just wanted to make some music that I actually tried to write lyrics that were like important to me and stuff, which put a little bit more effort into than maybe I did when I was younger. That was important to me. And like, you know, the music that when we play live, like, it's important to me that we present a good product. And I might product, not by like trying to sell, but just like, the music that we present sounds good and it's like professional, like that it sounds like that's important to me. But, you know, so we don't got, but I don't give a fuck, dude. If there's 200 kids there or fucking 20 kids there, they're going to get the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't matter. And so that's important to me. And I think we're doing that, and we're just having fun with it, man.
I do like the kind of writing lyrics that are important to you. And I know that a lot of the, a lot of it comes from the sobriety and your recovery. And then also Neck Dissection.
Yeah.
Crazy song.
Crazy song. Hardest riffs. Kind of crazy lyrics for me. And just like, fucks, dude. It's hard. It's a hard, I think I love, it's my favorite song. Not only, you know, because A, it's very personal, but also like musically, I'm like, dude, I wish every song we had sounded like this. That's, I feel like we like hit our stride there. But yeah, it's also, you know, I have fucking stupid cancer and, you know, why not write a song about it, I guess, you know?
Was there any time like in that battle where it was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do vocals or how, like,
yeah,
how far
dude.
Did it go?
So I had cancer and I'll go back to kind of like how I found out, just like, not to do a deep dive, but I was like a little tired, but I also work, I've worked nights for the last, since like 2008. So like, you never, if you've ever worked an overnight shift, you know, if anyone listening has, you don't wake up like, yeah, I feel so fucking good, you know? And my union, we brought in a private company that did just like, cause I'm a firefighter and we get cancer, our rates are like exponentially higher than the general public. And, you know, from, you know, you lived in the US and now in Canada, like, I just can't go to my doctor and say, hey, can you do an ultrasound, preventative ultrasound for, I don't know, my testicles? He's going to say, you know, you don't have any symptoms, insurance isn't going to cover it. That's how our healthcare works, right? And so we brought this private company in and they ultrasound us essentially from our testicles to our head. And they found one little nodule on my thyroid. So then I went to my doctor, my primary care, we did another one. And then it was just kind of, you know, as the diagnostic, when I ended up having cancer all in my neck, it was in my lymph nodes, it was on a couple spots of my thyroid. I had one tumor on my trachea, like right up against my trachea and my vocal cords, dude. And there was a chance, they said, that I couldn't even talk again after the operation. Yeah, so it was pretty crazy, you know. I had a few moments of feeling really shitty, you know, like kind of down and out. But I will say, I also, not to like diminish it and like, because cancer is fucking brutal, and I don't like, but I also have like a sick sense of humor. And I was like, man, fuck it. Like, I can't believe I made it to fucking 42 years old anyways. So like, I never was like, oh my God, I could die. Like, I never really like went down that rabbit hole of like negativity. I just looked around, like, you know, when you're like getting treatment and you're in, they're very sad places, dude. Like when you're getting your blood drawn, it's in a fog, but like you look around, you go, oh, fuck, I can't believe I'm here. But that being said, as I never let it like, I was just like, eh, whatever. Like, whatever fucking happens. Like, it wasn't like, you know, it's still cancer, but it's probably like, so, it's like a slow moving cancer, you know? Mm-hmm. So I was lucky that they caught it. It was still all on my neck. It didn't get into like my blood and stuff. I think that my story would probably be a little different, you know? And I don't mean to like diminish someone else who's going through that. Like, that's not what I'm trying to do, but like, dude, I'm a paramedic by trade. I'm a fireman. Like I see horrific shit all the time. I kind of got a dark sense of humor anyway. So, so I kind of fucking joke my way through the cancer portion, you know?
Yeah. That's gotta be the hardcore kid inside.
Yeah. It's kind of like, well, whatever, you know? But yeah, it was a fucking trip, dude. It wasn't really a trip. It definitely changed my voice. We recorded a couple months after when I wasn't all 100% healthy, you know, and I kind of wish I didn't do that because it made my voice a little different, you know, but it also is what it is. And I wanted to get that. I was like, yo, this is important. Like the music's recorded. I wanted the vocals. Like, let's just fucking get it out. I'll do my best. And, you know, I think I sound better now. I wish I could re-record it, but it is what it is. I don't hate it, you know?
Yeah. What's cool is that lives like, I know that, you know, it sounds a little bit different. The vocals definitely do have a different sort of kind of feel to them, but like,
sure,
it speaks to what was in that moment. So it's very, very like,
yeah, it's a really,
it's
like
meaningful. So it's, yeah.
100%, dude. And it's like how my body was, how my voice was, like how my brain was, like, you know, it's all kind of tied in together in that regard. So it's my favorite song to play.
Yeah.
So for a lot of reasons.
Who hasn't heard it, go listen to it. Cause it's fucking good.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that, man. That's probably the one song I'm most proud of, like, ever. Out of all of them, you know?
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, I mean, I'm happy to see that, like, you know, you look good. So.
Yeah, I try, man. I've done everything my doctors told me to do, like rest and chill out. I didn't do any of that, bro. I didn't. And like, it was funny because when I first found out, it was like, okay, we just found like one cancerous nodule. We're going to go in, we're going to cut it out. It won't be that bad. And then like, so we had already scheduled like the initial You had me at Hello Run, like to do all those, like that was a couple months in the works when I found out already. So I was like, initially, I was like, oh yeah, I can do it. I can still do it. I can do it. Like it won't be an issue. My doctor's telling me recovery is going to be real quick. I should be fine. And then they would find, like, I go back again for another ultrasound. They find another chunk of cancer and then another one and then another one. And then it turned into having my whole fucking neck cut open. And I was like, I told everyone I could still do it, but I was 99% sure I was not going to be able to do it. But I was like, I'm just going to see and kind of fucking hope for the best. And after the first run of shows, I definitely ended up back in the hospital for a night. I got kind of, it fucked me up a little bit. And I, you know, but again, it also like, you know, so what a great distraction. You know, I get to play, like I'm all down and out and I'm depressed, but I also have the chance to play the fucking Worcester, a sold out Worcester Palladium show with all my friends. Like it couldn't have worked like the way the universe is, man. I'm not fucking religious, dude. I'm not a spiritual guy, but like the timing was really great for like my mental health. And it gave me having something to look forward to. Like I couldn't imagine if I was just like, you know, if my only hobby was going to work and coming home and watching TV. Right. And if I didn't really do have extracurricular activities in, you know, a close, a nice circle of friends, of people to be around, I think my recovery would have been much different. I think it would have been more depressing and sad and that. So in a really weird way, like having all the shows and stuff gave me, you know, gave me hope, something to look forward to, all of that, you know? So I think it was beneficial, even though the doctors were like, don't do anything, don't sing, fucking sit on the couch. I was like, sure, okay. Like a month later, I went to jujitsu. They were fucking not happy. But whatever, fuck, who cares?
So have you been resting? Yeah, the jiu-jitsu really took it out of me.
Yeah, I just had my neck cut open, and like 6 weeks later, I'm getting fucking choked out, dude. Wild. The worst, but don't do that. If you have cancer in your neck, don't do that.
Oh, man. We can do that in Canada. We have free healthcare.
You can keep going. The doctor's not bad.
Grinding it. Also with the recovery that you've done from like with alcohol and everything like that, I think you have a quote that you've said on an interview or something where it was like, edict wouldn't have happened without the recovery.
No, not at all, bro. I was, many years ago when I was in a band with George, I used to torture that fucking guy on tour. I'd be drunk all day, every morning, you know, and, I was terrible. I was insufferable. So if you're an insufferable alcoholic, like check yourself, because I would wreck the shows, torture my friends, like not good at all. And, you know, this was, you know, getting sober and stuff, it was difficult, but it gave me like, you know, gave me a chance, some life experience that maybe affects other people, like a small group of people that can identify with kind of how I feel and vice versa. And so it gives me a chance to talk to people in that regard, you know. And but no, dude, if I was fucking doing drugs, I would, because at least the way when I drink and stuff, that's the only thing I care about, dude. Not myself, nothing, nobody else, like no music, you know. It was not, when you're in it, like you don't give a fuck about anything else, you know. And so definitely no recovery, no edict, no risk, no friendship. No nice life experiences, you know. I attribute to all of my happiness and my, you know, my life is not fucking perfect by any means, but like the life experiences I've had in the last 9 years, it's all because of that, because of recovery, you know, because I'm two fucking different people. Drunk Joe sucks, you know, and sober Joe is a totally, you know, it's like I have these two different fucking people. Like I can be two different people, you know, and it's been really good. So I'm very grateful for that.
It's like a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde situation.
Oh, 100%, 100%. And I'll tell you right now, full disclosure, that motherfucker is always sitting on my shoulder saying, you know, if you just did this, and I go, get the fuck out of here. I don't think that ever goes away though.
No. Yeah. I mean, cause so you were in She-Ri after the Bury Your Dead, you did She Rides for a while as well. And then it was after that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was fun, man. We toured a lot. put on a record on Stillborn, which just kind of blows my mind. But I was like there physically for it, but not mentally. I was not really. I was out to lunch. And I think those guys are fucking really talented, awesome musicians, and I just wrecked it. I'm not even going to fret. Yeah. I'm going to own it. I'm going to laugh about it now. But yeah, I just was not a good time, you know?
So with the stuff in Edict, y'all are releasing on Unbeaten as well now, right?
Yes, sir. We just put out our first EP. Well, technically our second EP, but it was our first one with Unbeaten, and we'll hopefully do another one. That's the plan, you know, at some point.
What are the upcoming plans that you guys, so another EP, keep rolling on Unbeaten
records? Yeah, we have a little bit of new music, stuff that we're writing. We just played a whole bunch. We have a show this Friday, and then one in Connecticut in June, and then I think we headline the New Hampshire Hardcore Fest at the end of June. So just three shows. The focus is to finish up some of the music that we have. You know, there's no real timeline. There's no rush. Like, you know, I'm a instant gratification guy, so I would love to have it be done tomorrow, but that's not reality, you know? But that is a plan. And then I know we have Unbeaten Fest coming up, and we're going to in August in Albany. So and then we're going to play, you know, we're going to hopefully tour around that. There's a few things in the works, but nothing is finalized, you know?
Awesome. Yeah. I'm, the one time that I saw you guys, and it was a very kind of strange show, but I won't go into the details. It was really good. And I was like, wow, the turnout could have been a lot better for this.
Sure.
The bands on this bill are really good. Cause y'all are with like Reality Denied and 100% Pure and all those guys.
Dude, Reality Denied, after never hearing them and then seeing them for the first time, I was like, fuck, dude, you know, the older I get, the harder it is to play with a new band and be like blown away. And I was like, fuck, dude, they got riffs. They're energetic. Their live show is good. 10 out of 10 would recommend, and would hopefully we get to play together some more, you know?
Yeah.
Cause they're fucking really awesome, man. And like hard. You ever see when you got to play with a band, you go, fuck, we have to play after those guys. I wasn't expecting that, you know? So they're great. They're fucking great.
They're crazy. I love that band. So yeah, the show was really, really fun, but like I said, the turnout could have just been a whole lot better, and the venue's kind of weird, but you know, it is
us too. If we ever go to play a new place, we kind of joke about it, because I think it's because of the bands that we're in some of, or either are in or have been in. I think people expect us maybe to be a little bit bigger, draw some more people than we normally would, you know, but we don't give a fuck, dude. If we go to play a new place, no one's ever heard of us. Like, it is what you can't expect any people in a different country in some random town to fucking know who you are. I mean, that's not a thing. So we just come in, we put on for whoever's there, and hopefully the next time we go back, you know, it's bigger, and you know, it goes from there. And if it's not, I'm still gonna fucking have a good time regardless.
Hell yeah.
You know,
it's the best outlook to have.
Yeah, dude. Unreal. My whole life is like, my thing is like, just don't have any unrealistic expectations, because then you're just bummed out all the time.
It's true.
Yeah.
If you don't build it up, just expect nothing.
It's literally just expect. Yeah. Expect to be at the bottom all the time, so you can only go up.
You can only not be disappointed. That's like,
yeah.
Well, Joe, this has been a lot of fun. I really appreciate you talking with me.
No, it's been really great, dude. So I guess I'll just kind of give a shout out to Unbeaten Records, Wisdom and War, Pure Bliss. We're like the smaller, newer Unbeaten bands, but both of those bands, heavy as fuck, great shows, really sweet people, nice messages, you know. And I'm not just saying that because I really mean that. You know, I wish I could hang out with Brandon and Chanel every single day. We really enjoy spending like just their energy and like being around them, you know, they're just the type of people I want to play shows with. And I really mean that. And same thing, Buddy, man, Buddy from Unbeaten, Buddy and Nolan, fucking A+ people, just nice, genuine, good people that like heavy music. And I'm very happy and grateful to be a part of that. And I don't know, come grab a record or some shit, come to a show. I know the music's on the internet someplace. You can find it at YouTube, Spotify, wherever.
You should still buy records though.
Records. Yeah, definitely buy records. Yeah.
Before we go, I just want to know, what's your favorite city for beans and breakdowns?
My favorite city for beans and breakdowns. I'm going to have to say, dude, either like probably New York. Coffee. I mean, fuck, there's 50 million people there. And there's a coffee shop in every corner and it's delicious. You know, I, you know, you can just throw a rock. You don't have to walk more than a block to find a delicious cup of coffee. And it doesn't really matter the neighborhood that you're in, at least in my experience. You know, mm-hmm. we've played a bunch of different places and it's just, it's awesome. So I would say that traffic sucks. And I hate driving there, but the coffee, the quality and like the amount of good quality coffees. You yeah. go in New York City.
Do you have a crazy New York show story?
No. You know, once I, when we were kind of a new band, I'll tell you, this might not be the crazy story that you wanted, but we drove to Brooklyn, us and our friends of Backstabbers Incorporated, two people paid. And I had to be to drive back to like go to work. I get home in like 90 minutes and fall asleep and go to fucking work for 24 hours. God. So that was fun. So it's kind of crazy, but still very fun.
Two people. Jesus.
Yeah. Show was sick though. We're good bands, but it's, you know, it's the way it is, dude. In underground music. You just don't know.
It's true. You never know. It's like you literally gambling.
100%. And it's, you know, actually, because we, I won't hold you hostage, but we always talk about like, is it worth it? Right. And you just got to change your definition of what worth it means. Financially. No, it's not worth it. But for fun, 100%, yeah. You know,
it could be crazy shit. You never know.
100%. And I appreciate you having me on, dude. This has been really sick. I like, it was easy. I was a little stressed out.
No, no worries. It's, we're just talking. We're just chilling.
That's it. And we'll have to get coffee in fucking Montreal soon.
Come back up.
Before the year's over.
Yes, please. Thanks for listening to this episode of Beans and Breakdowns. I want to say a huge thanks to Joe for hanging out on the podcast. Be sure to check out In Defense of Labor, the newest release from Edict, available on all listening platforms, and keep an eye out on their upcoming shows. If you've enjoyed the podcast, please subscribe and leave a review. You can find out more information about the podcast by following us on Instagram at Beans and Breakdowns or on the web at beansandbreakdowns.com. Until next week, be sure to stay caffeinated and wake the fuck up!